So we're going to look at the book of Philippians on the theme of living for Jesus. So Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 to 30. You can follow along with me as I read this. For I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. Now Paul is writing this letter from prison. So, and is he depressed? Is he fed up? No, this is the most joyful letter Paul wrote. and little did he realise when he was sitting in his prison cell writing this, that billions of people's lives would be changed forever through reading that. So never underestimate what God can do in your life when you're in a tough situation and you choose to trust him. Amen. Verse 20, Paul says, "For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed." He was facing a potential death sentence, being executed. "But that I will continue to be bold for Christ, as I have been in the past." When I met Macaulay on Thursday, we were talking about being bold in our witness for the Lord. And I remembered this story about there's an evangelist, an American evangelist, who's a very bold guy. And he did an outreach event in a big hotel, I think it was in Chicago. And afterwards, after the meeting had ended, he'd asked people to come forward and dedicate their life to Christ at the end. But he was sitting in the hotel lobby. I think he was staying in that hotel that evening. So he was sitting in the hotel lobby having a tea, having a coffee. And this guy came up to me and said, I was in your service. And he said, and you asked people to give their life to Jesus. And he said, but I was too shy to come forward at the meeting and say that I'd become a Christian. So, but I just want to let you know that I have given my life to Jesus. And this evangelist said, what's your name? I can't remember the guy's name. Let's say Steve for the sake of argument. So he stands up. So this evangelist stands up and he bangs something on this table. And he's in this big hotel foyer with a few hundred people just until everyone's quiet. He says, hey, everybody! Something wonderful has just happened to my friend Steve. Steve, stand up. Tell everyone what you just told me. And this guy, Steve, and he goes, I gave my life to Jesus. You gave your life to Jesus. Give him a big round of applause, everybody. And everyone sort of breaks. But they sit back down again. So anyway, this evangelist is travelling around missed a bit out. He says to the guy, now he says, what I want you to do, Steve, he says, wherever you go, he says, that's what Christians do. He says, they boldly tell people what Jesus does. He says, what I want you to do, everywhere you go now, go into a restaurant, and says, just bang something on the table, get everyone's attention, and just tell them you've given your life to Jesus and you're so glad about it. And then I said, that's great. So anyway, he doesn't go, he's travelling around this evangelist, he doesn't go back, he doesn't go back to Chicago for some time, but sometime later he's back in Chicago again, he has a meeting in this same hotel. And at the end of the meeting, this guy, Steve, comes back up with a few other people with him. And he says, I'd like to introduce you to these friends of mine. He says, I think they've all given their life to Jesus like I did. And so he's meeting them, and he's asking, what happened? And this guy says, well, I was in this restaurant. And he said, this guy came in. And he's just banging on the table. And he told everyone in the restaurant he'd given his life to Jesus. And he's so happy about it. And then he sat down again. And he said, my life is a mess. And so I just went up to him. And I said, I want to know more. You know, so. So anyway, I just told Macaulay that story. I thought it was a good story. So. I remember Dave Jewell, some of us remember him. He was a cattle rancher, and he used to go to these, he'd just tell people about Jesus, he'd heal people wherever he went. And he was at some meeting with some friends, I think it was in Denver, and there was another Christian rancher there, and he said, this guy, he would carry a little guitar around with him. I don't know if it was a ukulele or a guitar, everywhere he went, and he'd just be praising God at the top of his voice. So down the street, in the shopping mall, you know, he'd kind of put it down to eat, or if he had to talk to him, but otherwise, he's just doing this. And Dave was a bit embarrassed because he'd kind of be walking everywhere, this guy would be praising God at the top of his voice. But he said he was in this prayer time that evening, and this guy got down on his knees and said, God, give me boldness. Give me more boldness. Dave said, oh no. So anyway, you can't be, and my point is, you can't be too bold for Jesus. It doesn't matter what people think about you. I'm speaking to myself here as well, because we get too much self self-respect, don't we?
Just
put in the other people on here.
Two things he said. He was guilty by association with the guy who was being so bold. And the other thing was he said, you can't embarrass a dead man.
Very good.
I have been crucified with Christ. That means you have no street cred to lose. You're dead. Doesn't matter. You don't care what people think about you. And I think, you know, my mum is 83. She doesn't care anymore. You know, as I say, on the way to the funeral, she was witnessing to the guy driving the limo. And basically, she lives in Clearbury Mortimer, but anyone meets her in the street, she'll offer them a Gideon New Testament. Anyway, back to Philippians. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ, as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honour to Christ, whether I live or die. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. So that's the verse I put in my dad's PowerPoint for the funeral. For if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. That's why you're still alive. That's why I'm still alive. Jesus has got fruitful work for you and me to do. Amen.
Amen.
Tell the person next to you, Jesus has got amazing things for you to do this week.
Jesus has got amazing things for you to do this week.
So let's not sleepwalk through this week. Let's be alert and open. And if we go to any restaurants, maybe why don't you bang on the table and just tell everyone. You go in Tesco or Asda or wherever you go. You know, McCauley's getting that way, but that's a good encouragement for the rest of us. Don't be timid. So, I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me, but for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live. So, Paul's being unselfish. He knows he'd be better off going to be with the Lord, but he's staying here on this earth for us, for other Christians. Knowing this, I'm convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. That's what we're here for. We're here to help each other grow and experience the joy of your faith. And when I come to you again, you will have even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because of what he's doing through me. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then, whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith which is the good news. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved, even by God himself. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. We are in this struggle together. You have seen my struggle in the past, and you know that I'm still in the midst of it, because he's in prison. So, you know, this prayer, you know, asking Paul to pray for boldness, and his hope and expectation that he will never be ashamed but continue to be bold for Christ. This is built on Paul's identity and our identity as children of God, our Father, being servants like Jesus Christ and missionaries empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, that's like a triangle. You know, we get our identity from the Father, we're a child, from Jesus, we're called to be a servant like he served, and a missionary, we're filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can receive power to be a witness to Jesus. Being a Christian believer means living to honour, worship and serve Jesus, or Yeshua in Hebrew, the Messiah, and he is the coming King of the world. That's what we're here for. But to me, living means living for Christ and bringing honour to him. We should not be afraid to die for the Lord, as being with him is far better than anything this world can offer. Praise God. You know, if you're not afraid of death, then everything else is pretty small fry. Amen. And that's what the Holy Spirit gives us, freedom from the fear of death. So looking at these verses here, one of the hallmarks of being a mature Christian is to be unselfish. So Paul is thinking about others more than himself. And we should do the same. You know, you can measure someone's maturity as a Christian by how unselfish they are. We can help each other grow and experience the joy of our faith by praying for each other, meeting together to encourage each other, and by working together to share the good news of Jesus to our people of peace. I am really looking forward to next year, because we moved house in May, and our house has been in the process of being refurbished pretty much continuously since then, so it's been in various stages of chaos. And when we get the new living room carpet fitted next week, that'll mean the living room will be in action, which means our dining room isn't full of stuff, which means we can invite people around for meals on a regular basis again. I'm really looking forward to doing that next year and having people around in our living room as well. And why don't you have that goal and prayer for next year as well? Have people around for meals, to your home, whether that's Christians to fellowship together or not yet Christians, your people of peace, so you can help them experience God's presence in our homes. We should not be afraid of dying, because we'll be better off in every way when we do. It's only the people who will miss out by our not being able to help them. We can trust God to protect us until we've finished all the work he prepared for us to do. So Paul was not executed as a result of this imprisonment. He was released and he carried on witnessing for the Lord. But later on he was arrested again and he was executed. And you can see in one of his later letters to Timothy, he says, I've finished my race, I've run my course. He knew that the Holy Spirit had kind of tipped him off. This is, you've done your job now, Paul. And he was writing one of his final letters to his young disciple Timothy, just to say, you know, I'm ready, I'm out of here, but you carry on the good work, basically. And I feel a bit like that with my dad dying. He did a great, great job living for Jesus through his life. Now I'm going to carry on. One of the things my daughter said in her tribute at the funeral was my dad, her granddad, left huge shoes to fill. And a young evangelist who's working there in Clearbury, great guy, he gave a little tribute, and he was encouraging all the Christians there in Clearbury, how are we going to carry on the work that Keith was doing? You know, Keith was praying regularly for all the work of God in Clearbury. So, the last bit of Philippians talks about us living as citizens of heaven. So our citizenship is in heaven. I've got a British passport, but that's not the most important thing in my life. The most important thing is my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. And God's kingdom is far more important than our earthly citizenship and has far better benefits. We get to receive all of God's love, all of God's presence, all of God's power, and all of God's protection, because we're citizens of heaven. Amen. And that's all available to you through you believing God's promises. We are in a spiritual battle, which is what Paul's talking about here, fighting together for the faith, not being intimidated by our enemies. It's information warfare. That's what we're about. But a lot of people believe lies about God. They believe, A, there isn't a God. That's a lie. And the whole world's an accident and life has no meaning. That's a lie people believe. People believe that Jesus was just a good man, he was just a religious teacher like Buddha or Muhammad or all the others. That's a lie. People believe that if they just live a good life and try their best, that's good enough for God to live with him forever. That's a lie. So we're in a battle to get the truth to people, and the truth is good news. The good news is that Jesus is amazing. He's the creator of the universe. He became a man. He's not just another religious leader. The good news is that this life does have meaning. I've been reading a book, The Shack, and I've just started another book the same author wrote. And one of the quotes from it is that in this life, if anything matters, then everything matters. And atheism basically means that nothing matters. It's just a big accident. There's no meaning. Christianity says that everything matters. And because, you know, yeah, so, you know, that's good news. We're in a fight to communicate the truth of Jesus Christ to people's hearts and minds. We win this battle when we stand together united in prayer. So if you are available to pray with me this week for our Christmas party next Sunday, please let me know, because the more of us pray together, the more power there is in our prayers. Our enemies will ultimately be destroyed, so let's not be afraid of them. You know, I've Johnny's over in Thailand. No, he's Manila now, isn't he? Philippines. But I remember having a conversation with him a few months ago. One of his colleagues at work was persecuting, was being horrible to him, saying horrible things to him. He was kind of cursing him, swearing him, slandering him publicly, you know, in front of his colleagues. And my encouragement to, this guy was a Muslim, and my encouragement to Johnny was, when someone's doing that to you, you have all their attention. They're giving you 100% of their attention. And I heard a Christian preacher many years ago that says, when someone's doing that to you, it's a platform for you to preach the gospel to them. And you know, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. In other words, if they're being horrible to you, don't hit them, don't violently attack them. That's not Jesus' way. But what you can do is you can preach the good news to them and say, Jesus loves you. You know, Jesus died for you. You know, you need to trust in Jesus as your saviour. And so I'll pass that on to you, because maybe you, in, you know, if maybe at the moment or in the future, you might have someone that decides to hate you and persecute you. Jesus said, they hated me, so they're going to hate you. This world persecutes me, so that's why it's going to persecute you. Now, we trust in God that we'll meet people of peace, aren't we? And it's wonderful when we do, and they want to know about Jesus. But there are people in this world who are wicked, who are evil, and who will hate us. So don't be surprised when you meet them. What you can do, like Paul said here, is preach the gospel to them. Because Paul changed from being someone who hated Christians to someone who loved Jesus. And so we never know. The people who persecute us, if we share the good news of Jesus with them, they may actually repent and become Christians. You know, we don't know. So that's why it's good to have that mindset, not to take it personally, not to be, react or retaliate to them in physical violence, but to retaliate with spiritual love and truth that can set them free. It is a privilege to suffer for Jesus Christ, because the rewards for doing so are great. We're in this struggle together. So it says, for you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. So tell the person next to you, it is a privilege to suffer for Jesus. Because you're going to get a, Jesus will reward you. Amen. And Paul suffered a lot for Jesus. When we get to heaven, I guess we'll really be wonderfully surprised about how Jesus rewarded Paul. And I'm sure he'll tell us face to face, it was worth it. Amen. It's always worth it. So I'm finally getting on to Philippians chapter 2, which is where kind of gets us thinking a bit about Christmas story. Anyway, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? How would you answer that question? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Okay, it doesn't matter what your trainers you wear, it doesn't matter, you know, how good your jokes are. What matters is, am I pleasing Jesus? Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Tell the person next to you, I think you're better than me. Robert, I think you're better than me. It's not easy to say that, is it? Something inside goes,
Next to you.
Sorry.
I'm the other way with that. So.
You like find it easy?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's true, because some of us are very tough on ourselves, aren't we? Yeah, so that may be, so Cliff and Fred, keep telling Chloe she's better than you. Okay. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. That's a great thing to remember at Christmas, isn't it? Mm. So this, what do we learn from these verses? Number one, loving each other is a choice. You don't have to like every other Christian you meet, but if they're a brother in Christ, you can love them. That means be kind to them, be patient with them, be generous to them. Loving is an act of faith and a response to the encouragement, comfort and fellowship we receive from Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Unity comes from actively reaching out to one another, communicating with each other, staying in touch and doing things together. So remember the COVID-19, one of the downsides was it kind of got us isolated, didn't it? And I don't know how fully you feel you've recovered from all that horrible grave clothes that kind of got thrown over us. But in 2023, let's be hospitable, as hospitable as we can. You know, throw parties, hang out with people, and get rid of all that COVID-19 baggage. Our culture is all about self-indulgence. It's all about pleasing myself. I'm going to choose my own gender and identity just to please myself, and I'm going to get everyone else to call me the exact words I insist on, because it's all about me. That's quite a lot of the mindset around us. Our culture is all about impressing other people on social media. How many likes have you got? How many followers have you got? How many subscribers have you got? I get told by someone in my family that I've only got 27 subscribers, but I don't mind, because I'm pleasing Jesus. Okay? Celebrity. Our culture is all about celebrity and having judgmental attitudes to other people that don't agree with you. You cancel them in our culture. If they don't agree with you, you try and get them fired and sacked, and get a mob of hateful people piling onto them. That's the social media world that we live in. And our culture is about seeking pleasure. So let's show those who live like this that Jesus' way is far better. Let's live a different way. Amen. Let's show people that deep fulfillment comes from Jesus Christ inside us, not from all this external stuff. Amen. So now we get on to the last bit of Philippians we're going to look at today. You must have the same attitude, the New King James says, let this mind be in you, that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling on to. He didn't show off. He didn't strut around. He could have been born in the richest palace on the planet 2,000 years ago, which probably would have been the Roman Emperor's palace. And he could have just shown off with all his power, couldn't he? I've got everyone screaming and saying, Jesus, all this stuff, you know. But no, he wanted to demonstrate his nature and his character in a humble way. Though he was God, instead he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave. I mean, compared to what his position on the throne of God was, being born as a little baby in that stable in Bethlehem must have felt like being a slave in that little body. Couldn't even speak. What a come down, if you like. And he was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. That was the ultimate act of humility. And he did that because of love for you and me. Therefore, God elevated him to the highest place of honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And it will, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So there's people in heaven right now, there's people on the earth right now, that's us, and there's people under the earth right now, those who've rejected Christ and are kind of waiting for the final judgment. And every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do you declare that Jesus Christ is Lord today?
Yes,
yes, I do.
He's Lord to everyone.
Sorry?
He's Lord to humanity.
He is the Lord for all humanity, and we pray that more and more people, as time goes on, we'll believe that and accept that. The reason that Jesus Christ is the greatest man who has ever lived is that he is also God. And he demonstrated the best characteristics that we all desire to see in others and in ourselves. He's our example. Jesus truly deserves the highest honours and accolades from all humanity. And when we were singing some of those wonderful songs at the beginning of the service about Jesus will reign forevermore, I was kind of thinking about the people in power on the planet right now. The Queen died, sadly. It would have been great if she'd carried on. A lot of people would have liked her to. We've had three Prime Ministers this year, lose track. President Biden's getting old and frail and often says what he doesn't mean. And then we've got Putin and Xi Jinping, two brutal, murderous thugs, wreaking havoc on the planet. And I'm so glad that Jesus is going to come back and reign forever, amen. Because you look around the planet right now and he's sadly needed, amen. So we pray, Jesus, come back soon. So there are three locations for all human beings, dead or alive, at the moment. So you can see that there. Every knee in heaven, every knee will bow on earth, and every knee will bow under the earth. So you can, let's just leave it there.